You are listening to the Next Best Picture podcast, and this is our review of Murder on the Orient Express.
Would you mind if I join you?
You're the world-famous detective, Hercule Poirot. Avenger of the innocent. Is that what they told you in the papers?
And you are innocent?
You're fun.
A passenger has died. He was murdered. The murderer is on the train with us now. And every one of you is a suspect. So, let us catch a killer.
A man was rummaging around my cabin in the middle of the night.
You are certain it was a man?
I know what it feels like to have a man in my bedroom.
What did you think of the dead man?
You leave her out of this.
Did he have enemies?
Pick a number.
The real killer is right here. One of you people.
We are surrounded by lies.
I'm sleeping here, where everyone can see me. And I can see everyone.
Who takes up the knife?
Cannot trust no one. Another one?
All right, everybody, you were just listening to the trailer for The Murder on the Orient Express. This is the 2017 version, directed by Kenneth Branagh, and the story is as follows. A lavish trip through Europe quickly unfolds into a race against time to solve a murder aboard a train. Everyone's a suspect when Detective Hercule Poirot arrives to interrogate all passengers and search for clues before the killer can strike again. The film is starring Kenneth Branagh, Penelope Cruz, Willem Dafoe, Judi Dench, Johnny Depp, Josh Gad, Derek Jacobi, Leslie Odom Jr., Michelle Pfeiffer, and Daisy Ridley. Once again, as I said before, it's directed by Kenneth Branagh and written by Michael Green. Joining me for this review, I have Deanne Chiazese.
Hello.
And joining us for a review for the first time on the Next Best Picture podcast, you've probably seen his work on the website. It is Daniel Howitt, everybody.
Yay.
Hello.
Very, very happy to finally have you on, sir.
Yes, happy to be here.
Okay, so we know the Sidney Lumet version, 1974. Pretty decent film overall. It's a good mystery. It's not something that I don't think has aged particularly well. So I was very curious to see what Branagh would bring to this. And in my estimation, it turns out that he brought a very, very good character and a very good performance in front of the camera. But behind the camera, oh man, this movie's got a lot of problems as far as I'm concerned. Daniel, you're new here on the podcast. What did you think?
Yeah, so I've never seen the any adaptation, not the 74 or any other adaptation of this movie. So I didn't know the ending or anything, which I think helped a lot because for this type of movie to be successful, the mystery really needs to be alive. So I thought it was okay. Nothing more, nothing less. It's not really anything particularly memorable. You know, it's just, it's got good style, I thought, for the most part. Some of the visual effects are a bit weak, but some of the cinematography is pretty good, production design, costume design. And like you said, the best part of this are the characters. Poirot is great, as are all the other characters. I thought they were all, for the most part, interesting and kind of fun to be around. But the mystery was never really that intriguing. It's okay. It's very forgettable, but it's... I struggle to find anything particularly negative to say, but all I can say is it's fine.
Yeah, I think I'm in a similar place as you. I had never seen the original, so the story was new to me, which, to your point, should have made it almost better in a lot of ways versus people who are really familiar with the source material in the original movie. It just did really feel like Kenneth Branagh just really, really wanted to play this part. And holy cow, I mean, he did, and he did really, really well. But I actually was kind of let down regarding some of the other characters around him. I like, for example, just Michelle Pfeiffer, I thought... there was something so strange about that performance to me. It just didn't work for me. So, I'm with you. Overall, it was good. I don't think this is something that's going to make any top 10 lists this year. It was just there.
I completely agree. I am probably very harsh on this movie, I would say, because I really do think that Kenneth Branagh's character of Hercule Poirot, with all of his meticulous details and his, you know,
idiosyncratic, like, you know, quirks and everything else that comes along with that character is just so much fun to watch. And he's so entertaining and he overshadows everybody in the movie that it almost came off to me like Kenneth Branagh was almost like so in love with this character that it almost feels like a vain project. You know what I mean? Like, it's all about me. It's all about me. You know?
It did feel like that.
Right? Like, if he didn't direct this movie and somebody else did, I would not be saying this. But it is very weird that he literally gets the most character development, the most moments of insight into what makes his character unique and makes him tick, and just overall focus in general.
But is that not how the 74 version is?
Yes, no, it is. But I don't know. I just feel like with so many well-respected actors on display here, I really do feel like they all could have been given just a little bit more. Johnny Depp is, you know, effective but wasted. Judi Dench feels wasted. Penelope Cruz feels wasted.
I thought Josh Gad had a nice moment. He had a couple of scenes. Like, he was the one probably positive, I would say.
Right, right. And Michelle Pfeiffer. Right? I mean, Michelle Pfeiffer's got a moment towards the end. I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah, I thought she did all right. I think I liked her probably better than you did, Deanne.
Yeah. Well, now that I'm thinking about the end, I kind of see what you're saying. I was thinking more of the first couple of acts, but you're right about that end scene.
But, you know, there's just moments where, you know, I'm trying – there's, like, one particular moment that I keep coming back to where Kenneth Branagh – it's the moment when he's, like, struggling to come up with the word fudge.
Yeah, that was pretty hilarious.
He's like, what do you call that American word for the chocolate? The fudge. This is the fudge. And it's like, dude, I just got this like overriding sense of like, God damn, like Kenneth Branagh, you're such a great actor. I want to see you acting more. I'm getting kind of tired of your directorial efforts. I just don't feel like as a director, I don't think he's good. I really don't. I think he's very inconsistent. And he's probably at his best when he's doing these Shakespearean adaptations, and that's probably why he worked so well for Thor, because he was able to inject a bit of that into there. But this, it just felt like it was a mess at times in terms of balancing characters, telling the story in a logical way that sometimes I feel like the movie's like too complex for its own good, and it actually loses the audience and disengages with us as opposed to getting us feeling like we should be intrigued, if that makes sense.
I definitely agree with that. I felt like the story, it never grabbed me. I didn't really care too much about who the murderer was. I was more...
It happens to a guy that's kind of despicable, so you're like, oh, well, good riddance.
Yeah, exactly. And they kept showing, like you said, there's not a lot of character development. So I don't really care who did it, and it just never, there was no fear, there were no stakes, the murderer really wasn't, you know, coming back and wasn't threatening anybody, so it was just kind of, I didn't really care.
You know, but then the film then tries to do this whole contemplative, let's talk about the scales of justice, and let's talk about what it means to uncover the truth, and let's also talk about how murder is a ripple effect, and morals, and, you know, blah, 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 blah. The movie's trying to put forward something to say about these things. And there were moments where I felt like they were on the cusp. Like, just so, so close to achieving a moment or two of brilliance. But it just never fully comes together. And I think it all falls squarely on the shoulders, once again, of Branagh, who, as a director, just isn't able to make these pieces come together as a whole.
Yeah, well, it's crazy. You got Michael Green, too, who wrote two of my favorite movies of the year. And then, I don't know how much of that's in the screenplay.
Wait, which two movies are that?
Logan and Blade Runner 2049.
Oh, wow. You're right.
I didn't realize that.
Holy
crap.
Yeah,
he also did Alien Covenant, which isn't one of my favorite of the year.
Wow, he's having a bit of a year.
Yeah, he's having a year. And this one certainly falls short from some of those other things.
But yeah, once again, like the quality of writing that's there for the Perot character, you know, I don't know. I just, for example, like these just little tiny little things, like the way he likes to eat his eggs, you know, or
yeah,
that scene I said before with the fudge. There's just these little tiny moments that if they had just focused a little bit on giving the other characters those little tiny moments as opposed to caricatures instead. You know, we've got the racist professor. We've got the stuck up, you know, princess royalty. We've got the religious woman with the dark past. It just seems like they're just caricatures, and they don't get fully developed and realized characters that these actors are very perfectly capable of sinking their teeth into.
Yeah, to me, it felt well, obviously, like the blockbuster version of this movie. Whereas if they had gone with a little bit scaled back, focused less on, I mean, the style, like I said, is the best part, but I think they were so focused on the style and the train and the atmosphere that they neglected everything else.
I actually disagree with you. I don't think this movie's got good style at all. I don't think
really?
It's, yeah, I don't think it's shot well. There were some, okay, I'll give some examples. There's like a few, maybe two overhead shots where the camera's looking down for a very long time when that just feels very unnecessary. And it almost feels like, A, they didn't have enough coverage to edit to something else, or B, they just got lazy.
Yeah. Well, they were trying to probably like make that containment of the train car sort of feel alive a little bit with the way they shot those. But I also found it off-putting.
Yeah, that didn't bother me. And what's funny, you mentioned the coverage. I felt there were other times where they felt like they had so much coverage that the editing was pretty frantic. They were cutting back and forth to different shots really frequently. And it was that those moments were a little bit more off-putting to me than the overhead shots. But I could see how that would be, you know, annoying. That's kind of a weird shot. But
yeah, and I also didn't like the camera shots that were shot through windows or glass, and you got like reflections of the characters.
Oh, I love that. That's interesting. You didn't like it.
Yeah, I liked kind of like that first shot you're talking about, where they're kind of scanning the whole train as people are coming on.
Oh, see, like that too. Like that's just so gimmicky, where the camera is, it's supposed to be like from Hercule's point of view, and as the camera's moving down the train, it glances over at each character, and each character says their lines of dialogue in the order in which the camera's like moving down the cart. Like that is just so
silly. Oh yeah,
silly.
No, I did not like that. What I'm talking about is more those shots. I'm thinking of one specifically on Michelle Pfeiffer, where it's shot through a window, and you just get this fragmented view of her as it moves. Those are the ones that I like. But no, I totally agree with you about that moving through the train. It felt like a trailer shot because they used it in the trailer.
Yeah. Absolutely. And the visual effects are not particularly good, like you were saying before.
Agreed.
The music is not memorable. The overall just visual aesthetic of the film, I don't think is anything special either. So on a visual level for me, outside of costumes, I really did not find anything really that aesthetically interesting nor pleasing about this.
I mean, it sounds so awful, but I had the hardest time with that mustache. And I know it was part of it, but it made me crazy.
Yeah, I liked the moment with the mustache face mask. I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah,
that's really
funny. Good.
Yeah. But once again, that's a little character detail that they give to him.
Yeah.
And nobody else in the movie gets anything like that.
Sure.
Right.
So that just feels like such a, I don't know, I'm going to say it again, it just feels like such a vain choice on a director's part. I don't know how much of that is to blame on the screenplay. I don't know how much of that is to put on the shoulders of Brana. But what did you guys think of, sticking with visual style still for a minute. You know, another very, very corny thing that this film also does is black and white flashbacks.
Yeah, that was weak.
Right? I don't know. I just feel like Brana is, as a director in this, there's just some things in this that just don't, and I know I'm like having a hard time putting it into words. I guess I'm just really baffled by just how inconsistent this movie was. So moving over then to some things I talked about before. What did you guys think about the overall themes of the film and how it viewed murder and how it viewed justice, the searching for the truth, et cetera, et cetera? What did you guys think of the commentary on that?
I'm going to be honest. None of that stuck with me at all. I saw this movie 2 days ago, and it's just not memorable enough that nothing thematic jumped out at me almost at all.
Yeah, I saw it last night, and I'm in agreement. I seriously didn't pick up on any of that. There was never a moment where I was like, huh, okay, this is making me think about something or process something. None of that happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I said, it's moments of brilliance where you can see that they're trying to get at something, but it never fully materializes where it can then have that resonating impact on you. Another thing that like also bothered me a lot were the moments where they tried to make this an action film.
Yeah.
You know, Hercule Poirot is carrying a cane throughout most of the movie, and all of a sudden he's fighting? Like, does that make sense to anyone?
No, not at all. And that scene, or that moment near the beginning when he's in, what was that, Rome? No,
it was Jerusalem.
Jerusalem, yeah. And he sticks the cane in the wall, and the guy, you know, runs into it inexplicably. That was so random.
Yes, like, how do you not see that?
I know, it was so stupid.
It was. Yeah. Very, very stupid.
I kept thinking to myself, well, oh, this must be what this story is, and just kind of attributing everything to somehow, making throwbacks to the original. I'm just curious from your standpoint, Matt, like, did any of those themes come through better in the original? What were some of the key differences?
I think that the themes come through a lot better in the original. I really, really do. Key differences is really just in terms of how the characters are balanced and showcased here. With this movie, there's an increased element on trying to make this, and I hate saying this term, but Hollywood-y. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's an increased effort to make sure the visual aesthetic is pleasing so it can play on a very, very big screen. And to also make sure that, you know, there are some action scenes like an avalanche of snow and so on and so forth that are going to be like visually like, you know, stunning and keep the audience engaged. But to Daniel's point, the thing that would have kept us more engaged is if there was a second murder or some taunting by the murderer or something. Because I just didn't really feel like there were stakes, and I didn't really get a sense of tension or claustrophobia of being on this train and what it means for these people that the killer is amongst them. Like, I never got that overriding sense of fear and dread.
Now, without getting the spoilers, the ending makes that lack of dread make a little bit more sense, I guess.
Yes, I will say it does.
But it doesn't make our experience as a viewer any better.
Correct, and that's why the themes of the film needed to resonate more in order for that to land heavier on us, and it doesn't. It lands heavy on the character of Perot himself, which, as he's walking away from the movie, and he's like, oh, this will weigh on my conscience, and so on and so forth, I'm like, yeah, I guess. Which leads me then to ask you guys, without getting into spoilers, do you agree with the film's ending, morally speaking?
That's a tough question. Because, like I was saying, the themes didn't really hit me hard. So I feel like at the end we were supposed to have this, you know, when Poirot has his moment, you know, where he's yelling at them and all that. And I feel like we're supposed to have some big emotional connection and be moved by his whole speech, and I just wasn't. So it was just more the wrap up of the mystery more than any big moral moment. So I didn't really care, to be honest. I don't really care.
Yeah, I think that's just the flaw with the movie, because I'm literally in the same boat as you. I mean, I was kind of interested to see how it played out, and I thought that scene was effective, but there was nothing that resonated.
Yeah, and then, you know, throughout most of the movie, you're going to present to me some very laughably bad, campy dialogue. Like, I'm trying to think of, like, there's one line that really, really annoyed me. Like, I don't know, something like, I love the darkness, but I cannot stand the light. Yeah. You know, things like that. I'm just like, oh my God.
Like some of Penelope Cruz is like over the top, you know, religious stuff.
Yeah. You know, it's just oh God, no! Like this one scene where somebody like says to another character, I think about Perot, no detail escapes his notice, and it's like we don't need that line of dialogue to tell us this about the character. Like, this movie needed to show action as opposed to using dialogue to illustrate character.
Yeah, well, you know what's really funny is, like, you know, they kind of introduce him and around these quirks that he has that also is his gift, but also a little bit of a curse. I mean, honestly, I think that's an interesting theme to play on. I mean, there's probably some mental illness, like some OCD playing in there, right? Like, I think you could have almost explored that in modern times, you know, and how it would play today, and that could be more interesting than what we got.
Maybe that would have been more interesting. Let's tell a modern version retelling of Murder on the Orient Express.
Yeah.
Let's get us that version, someone. Let's do it.
Yeah, this is a tough one to talk about. I feel so bad. I just wish I had more to say.
Yeah, same.
Well, I'm going to give you that platform right now because I'm at that point, Dean, where I'm going to ask you now for your final thoughts on the film, grade out of 10 and Oscar potential. Anything else that you want to say?
Sure. Yeah. You know, I would give this a 3 out of 10. I was very underwhelmed. I was frustrated at times. And I'm in agreement with you, Matt. What really bothered me the whole time is knowing that he directed that movie. And I think there was a lot of missed opportunities. So I found that frustrating as I was watching it. So for that reason, I just... you know, it's a one and done for me.
And any Oscar potential?
No, sir.
Okay. Daniel.
I think my grade out of 10 is going to surprise you guys a little bit. I'm going to give this a 6 out of 10. And the reason for that might seem a little high. As I was watching the film, I didn't really have many negative thoughts. It was kind of mindless entertainment. It was mm-hmm. just kind of like, okay, yeah, a little murder mystery. I thought the style was all right overall. So it was just kind of vaguely enjoyable. And then when I left the theater, I basically forgot everything about the movie. So I don't think this is an offensive movie in any way. I just think it's bland, a bland attempt at a blockbuster. So I give it a vaguely positive review, even though I'll probably never think about this movie ever again. And Oscar potential, I would say almost certainly nothing. I guess it could have a shot at costume design or production design, but I doubt it.
And I'm going with a 3 out of 10 as well. Outside of Kenneth Branagh's performance, like, nothing else for me works here. And I will say that I really, can we all agree that his performance as Perot is fantastic?
Yes.
Definitely.
So, considering he's in every scene in the film, and the movie is all focused on him, I can see why that would increase people's enjoyment of it. So I would say that for more hardened people, you know, that are very harsh on movies, you'll probably land a little bit more into our negative camp. But maybe if you like Daniel in this instance, where it's not offensive, it's not... You know, because it's not offensive. Nothing pisses you off while watching it. But to Deanne's point, I think it is a missed opportunity. And what actually angers me so much about it is the fact that he's so damn good in this movie, Kenneth Branagh, that I do feel like he focused way too much on that character instead of the rest of the goddamn movie. And that is what bugs me about the whole thing. So I think costume design could happen. I don't think production design. Ugh. There's what? Only like 4 cars in this movie and they all look exactly the same and we never really even get the chance to explore the whole train. You know, like the sense of geography in this I didn't think was really good at all.
Yeah, I was confused. That's a good point. I was confused at like where, I forget the characters' names, but the Lucy Boynton and her husband.
Yeah.
I never knew where they were in the train. It was really weird.
Yeah, you know, you're going to do inside the cabin overhead shots of everything. Why don't you do like an overhead shot of the train moving, do like a little dissolve of the roof so we can then see from a visual effects point of view shot, you know, where everybody is in each train car and everything. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, give us an overall layout sense of what's going on. Because I'll tell you right now, like, the claustrophobic feeling that this movie's supposed to give off, that didn't succeed at all. So,
yeah,
I think they really, really needed to open it up a little bit more to show us exactly where everybody was on each train and give us a sense. Because it's true. It's confusing at times. Very confusing. So, it's indicative of the movie overall. 3 out of 10. Costume design, maybe, but probably not. And Kenneth Branagh is fantastic. I did laugh a few times. Did anybody else laugh?
Yeah, quite a few times.
I don't know. I think there was something wrong with me. I think I was grouchy.
It was that mustache. That mustache definitely put you in a bad mood. Alrighty, well, so that was that. Deanne, where can I find you on the internet?
I'm on Twitter at TweedleDD33.
And Mr. Howitt, thank you so much for being a part of the show for the first time. Hope to have you on for many more. Where can all of our dear listeners find you on the internet?
I'm on Twitter as well, at HowittDK. And you can listen to me on my main show, The Screeners Podcast.
Woo! And you could find me at Next Best Picture. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening to our podcast review of Murder on the Orient Express on the Next Best Picture podcast. You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, TuneIn, Google Play, Stitcher,
Player FM and on CastBox. Be sure to give us a review on iTunes. Let us know what you think of the show. Nothing less than 5 stars is acceptable, and we will read it out loud on air on our main show, which you can also listen to. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you all next time.